Dave Cook, and it started not very far away in Wrexham, just down the peninsula in Wrexham. And he saw on the television screens, which I'm sure perhaps lots of you will have seen, the end of the communist regime, and you saw those terrible pictures of children in orphanages in Romania, all chained to their cots, sat in their excrement, and sat there nodding away, not knowing the world they were in. I'm sure those pictures are so ingrained in my memory. I'm sure they must be ingrained in some of yours as well. Well, this man said, I've got to do something about that. And he made an appeal on local radio in Wrexham. And he went to his local disc jockey, thinking, oh, well, I might get a van full of bits and pieces to send. But he was overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, he found himself with five pantechnicons full of goods. And they sent him away. Next picture. They sent him away. And he had to get help to be able to send these things out to Romania, because he had just so much. It was something that just caught the imagination. And it's so caught the imagination that we're still doing it 26 years later. It absolutely snowballed. And within a year or two, he was beg, borrowing, and stealing. Well, not stealing, but he was cajoling people to lend him airplanes to send the goods away. Now, he wasn't actually an entrepreneur in the sense of being a big businessman, so the logistics became a problem. And he encountered a guy called Franklin Graham, right? Now, Franklin Graham is Billy Graham's son, and he was and still is the CEO of Samaritan's Purse International in the United States, and that's the story in a nutshell, is how Operation Christmas Child became part of Samaritan's Purse. So Dave Cook was always a Christian, and it was his Christian sense of love for other people that wanted him to do something about it. But when he encountered Billy Graham, then it was taken over formally by a Christian charity. And Samaritan's Purse International is very much a Christian charity. One big instance for us as Methodists, of course, you know that we helped rebuild the school in Haiti, and I hope some of you will have heard that story. the World Methodists did that when they had the earthquake in January 2010. A lot of the area around Port-au-Prince was wrecked, but whilst we spent several years raising the money to rebuild one school, Samaritan's Purse were there within days. And they came in, they had the bulldozers to help start clearing the streets. They had lots of these blue flat-pack tents, unfortunately, which some are still being used, to help house the people. And so they have much greater interest than just shoeboxes. This is the fun bit. This is the fun bit. But it's the fun bit that we can actually get the children involved with, particularly the children. Well, you adults can do it too, but it helps demonstrate to the children how we can give our love to somebody we don't know. And that's the thing, you know. You've just heard the reading from Matthew, you know. What you didn't do to somebody else is done in my name. And so we hope that the people of Wirral will respond, and they do. Every year we get about 10,000 boxes. It goes up and down a little bit. One year we had 13,000. One year we were down to 9,000. But it's around 10,000 boxes. And we're only a small chink of what goes on. 10,000 boxes from the Wirral Peninsula, 40,000 from Liverpool, and across the country, it's about 980 to 1 million boxes. And worldwide, because Samaritan's Purse took it over, you have an involvement from not just us and the United States, but Canada, Australia, France, Germany, the rich Western powers making a contribution. And annually, we generate about 10 million shoeboxes, which are given to all sorts of poor people around the world. And as I told the children, they try to be relatively efficient as if they can. The boxes from America go to Central America. The boxes from Australia go to Asian countries. Our boxes go to Eastern Europe in general. And then the boxes from further south go to African children. So there we are. As I told the children, conditions are absolutely awful for some of the children. Although in the cities in Romania where they first went, then there has been an improvement. And yet out in rural Romania, time has just stood still. And you talk about all these fun things in a box. You've sung happy birthday to someone, several people, this morning, right? This might be the only present that some children get. Now, I know I say that as a sort of heart tearjerker, a heart puller and all the rest of it, but it's true. There was one young lady who came, who helped make the 25th anniversary video, came on, and she still had her shoebox. And she's now nearly 30, this lady, because at the time when she was a small girl, it was the only present she had been given. So it really is important that we can get on and we can do this sort of thing. You heard me say to the children lots of things about the do's and don'ts, the leaflet, and Jill very efficiently has already got some for you. In there, there's a list of all these things are listed, or most of them are listed in there. With a little bit of ingenuity, you can pack and overfill a shoebox. As you see, how we're going to get that lot back in. Lots of these things are made mainly by ladies, because they're more dexterous than us fellows. But they make the pencil cases. They make they knit the hand puppets. They knit the hats and gloves, and so on. But there are other things you can do to keep the filling of the shoe boxes relatively cheap, because these cuddly toys, for instance, they come from charity shops. You think, oh, you know, if you look at you read the label, it says it's got to be new. You can come to our house, and it's not unusual for me to sit in the lounge with a row of cuddly toys all along the radiator, because Veronica's filled the washing machine with second-hand toys from the charity shop, and you look at that, comes up almost like new. And another child can have lots of fun out of that. So the leaflet is there. You put that on. The one difficult thing I have to talk about is to say, when you spend that money filling the shoebox, please can we have a donation to take it there? And you think, oh dear, oh dear. And now the leaflet asks for £3 per shoebox. And you think, that's an awful lot of money. But when you add it up, it actually isn't. You know, a 38-ton lorry doing 10 miles to the gallon to go to Ukraine and back, which is 1,700 miles away, is using an awful lot of diesel. There's a ferry crossing to be paid for, and tolls and customs and things. So when you start to add it all up, it actually costs quite a lot of money to actually take a lorry from Eastern Europe to Britain. So if you can make the contribution, that'd be very helpful. But don't be put off by filling a shoebox if you can't afford to put the £3 in. Somehow we do a little bit of fundraising, not enough to cover it all, but we do a little bit of fundraising to try and keep things going and to try and make ends meet. The international charity subbed the United Kingdom's Operation Christmas Child last year. Was it last year or the year before? Two years ago, we fell quite a long way short of finding the appropriate amount of money for 1 million boxes. You know, I mean, you're talking £3 million. So anyway, if you can add your love to our love for these underprivileged children overseas, we would love to cooperate with you. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you. What incredibly valuable work Samaritan's Purse do. We started with this picture. Let me show you it again. Whatever you do for the least of these, my children, you do for me, says Jesus. So a question. If we take those words from Matthew seriously, are we a sheep or are we a goat? Challenging words that at the judgment seat of Christ, the Father separates the sheep from the goats. And that challenges me every time I hear it. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the sheep ask in bewilderment, well, when did we do that? And the king replies, remember when. Remember when you did this. So, remember when you pushed Christian Aid envelopes through the doors and collected them in the rain. Remember when you knitted those prayer shawls and those twiddle muffs. Remember when you sponsored a child. Remember when you walked around the marine lake raising money and awareness for child trafficking. Remember when you gave those baby carriers to the refugees in Lesbos. Remember when you gave Dave, the homeless man who's been sleeping outside of Aldi, a cup of tea in the name of Christ. And remember when you filled that shoebox that gave such delight to a child somewhere else in the world. Remember when. You fill in your own blank. And the challenge is not just that we're patted on the back for those deeds that we've done that have made a difference, but also that we're challenged for the times when we've ignored the change that we could have made. When we've ignored those who are in need or we have turned away. When we've been too busy or too preoccupied or just not bothered. It's a remember when, and also a remember when you didn't, is the challenge. And that's what makes it hard for us to hear. And hard for the disciples, because we can all see ourselves on both sides. There are times we can remember our remember when we have done what we should have done. And conversely, there are times when we've all not done what we should. Yes? And we can see ourselves on both sides. We are a sheep, meh. And we are also a goat. What noise does a goat make? Meh. So in the end, I think we need to let this parable be just rest and be that challenge to us. A challenge to live out God's love because that's our calling. A challenge to seek God's guidance, to show us how to love others in Christ's name. And a challenge to ask for forgiveness when we don't do what we need to do. And it challenges us because it should do, it's meant to do. We're not exempt from the challenge that Jesus puts before us. The challenge is how we live our lives so that shows of Christ's love. And that's not just what we do for charity. It's about how warm our welcome is, how harsh our words are. Do we speak before we think? I know I do sometimes. How faithful we are to one another. The people we are when no one else is looking. You know, we can all be lovely at church. Maybe it's just that I can be lovely at church. My husband will tell you I'm sometimes I'm not very nice at home until I've had my second cup of coffee of the day. Sometimes I'm a bit grumpy. The real us. When we are at home and we shut the doors of our homes and sometimes our hearts. Are we a sheep or are we a goat? That's the challenge, which terrifies me. Because I know I'm capable of both. Capable of great love and compassion and capable, sometimes, of the opposite. So thank you, Ray, for reminding us that a little bit of love sometimes goes a long way. And may all of us hear that challenge afresh, that we're all called to make a difference. That whatever we do for the least of these, my children, Jesus says we do for him. We entertain angels unawares. I love that Bible verse that says sometimes we entertain angels unawares. So the challenge for us is, who can we see the face of Christ in? And sometimes it's the people that we least expect that we see Christ in. So our challenge is that we continue to allow God to mold us and shape us, to challenge us, and perhaps to thaw us out when we get too cold-hearted. Whatever you do for the least of these, my children, Jesus says, you do that for me. In a couple of moments' time, we're going to pray. Jen is going to lead us in our prayers for others. But we're going to have a moment of quiet reflection as we're going to sing together, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. And can I invite you to remain seated? And after this, Jen is going to lead us in our prayers for others. So use this quiet song as kind of an introduction to Jen's prayers. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you.